This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Legislation concerning truck drivers has been on the agenda for both state and federal levels, and one decision made in D.C. is going to cause some changes to be made over the next 6 months. Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association says truck drivers will be required to keep electronic logs starting December 18th of this year.
You know, there's been a lot of activity in Washington, on regulations that affect truck operators. The big one, though, was last week the U.S. Supreme Court said no to a review of this law that says if you have to keep logbooks and you're a truck operator, that you have to have electronic logs and a logging device installed in your truck by December 18th of this year. The big trucking companies, well, they can do it. You know, that's no big deal for them. They're a whole different type of operation than, say, the one or two truck operator or the guy who maybe runs, 200 miles away, is going to get anhydrous in Indiana, or maybe is hauling livestock or hauling grain someplace, more than 150 miles from his base of operation. And it's going to be a cost, number one. It's going to be a learning experience, how to use the equipment. And there's still a lot of questions out there about whether this stuff even works. And, the federal government, U.S. Department of Transportation, has been pushing this real quick. And we've heard too many complaints about people having problems with the equipment that's been installed. It doesn't work right. The software doesn't work right. How do you get data and information off of these electronic devices? A lot of questions. The small truck operators were not saying, let's throw the law out. We're saying, hey, let's give it a little bit more time so we can get all the bugs worked out and then, implement the rule. But the Supreme Court didn't want to hear that case. So now I think the options are, we're going to have to talk to Congress. We're going to have to talk to the new administration and say, hey, we got to do something because what's out there right now doesn't work. And when the law kicks in on December 18th, we're going to have all sorts of problems. So we're going to see, if and when that anything does happen with that in the next couple months.
What was the thought process behind this? What's the difference between the electronic logs and the paper logs, I guess? What's the difference between accessing them? Is there like a database that Department of Transportation can see the electronic stuff?
Yeah, paper logs were prone to inaccuracies. They were prone, obviously, to cheating. And U.S. Department of Transportation, and not to deny it, but there was, some high-profile accidents that occurred because people who were driving had been driving way too long, and they had doctored up their logbooks. And so the reaction was, well, then if we put in electronic logbooks and you tie it, the device to the truck, then it's going to be more accurate. They aren't going to drive over their hours, and there'll be an electronic record instead of a paper book,
That you can't change.
You can't change.
Yeah.
And that's the intent. And, it's I think companies will tell you that's a great idea, and most of the big companies have already implemented either electronic logbooks or an earlier version of what they call electronic onboard recorders. And they said once you get over that hump, you get the things installed, the drivers get to use it, it makes your record keeping a lot better. Obviously, it's going to keep you legal, and it's going to keep the drivers legal. So once it's in place, then it's understandable. That's fine. The problem now, though, is that the federal government, they're pushing this so fast that they aren't even certifying the equipment. I mean, they're basically telling companies that are going to make electronic devices, logging devices, well, you self-certify. You tell us your stuff works. And if you say, okay, my stuff works, then they put you on a list. So there's a list of devices, and they say, go ahead and we'll use one of these. And if you ask the federal government, does it work? And they'll say, we don't know. So it's just not, you know, it's not very well put together.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people in the industry saying, you know, what government, get your act together. You know, once you get your act together, then let's implement this thing. But right now, you're telling us to, you know, to have faith in equipment that may not work.
Right.
And we know there's equipment out there that does not work. We've heard back from members who say, I've got this system or I got that system. It does not work. And they're going, what do I do? You know? And so this has been a very emotional argument amongst the industry itself. The big guys are pushing it real hard because they know it, you know, for them it works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The little guys are saying, well, yeah, the big guy likes it because they figure, you know what, this is going to push a little guy out. And so there's a lot of internal strife on this thing. Sooner or later, everyone will have them, but right now it just does not seem to be moving that quick.
And there'll be some kinks to get worked out.
There'll be a lot of kinks to work out on this thing. So I think it's going to be a busy 6 months before this thing kicks in.
And once again, that update comes from Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association. In other news, the U.S. beef industry was understandably excited when China agreed to resume importing product from the U.S., but an AgWeb.com article notes that supplies eligible for exports remain few and far between. Daryl Peel, an ag economist at Oklahoma State University, says it's a long-term project to build up beef export numbers to China. There are some restrictions in place that limit the available supply in the short run, Peel says, but we now have access and we know the details so the beef market can start to work. Peel says it will take some time, but American beef producers will figure out what the restrictions are and how they work. American beef imports have to meet several qualifications, including coming from American-born, raised, and slaughtered cattle, with traceability going all the way back to birth. It must also come from cattle less than 30 months of age and raised with no growth promoters, feed additives, or chemical compounds. China will test all beef imports at the port of entry. Only a small percentage of American beef meets those specs, so American Farm Bureau economist Caitlin McCulloch said product would have to be raised at the cow-calf level to meet those specifications. Well, a leader in the vegan food industry claims lab-grown meat will be on the market by the end of next year. Hampton Creek, the company behind vegan mayonnaise and cookie dough, revealed this week it's been secretly developing technology to produce lab-made meat and seafood, or as they call it, clean meat. Business Insider reports that if Hampton Creek lives up to its timeline, it would beat its competitors to the market by 3 years. California-based startup Memphis Meats, which has raised at least $3 million, is the only other company that has said it will go to market, and not until 2021. By contrast, Hampton Creek has raised more than $120 million to develop the lab-made meats. Well, a final piece of news for you this morning. The Illinois Soybean Association has opened a new office in Chicago. The association welcomed business leaders, representatives, and industry partners to an open house this week celebrating its expansion. The additional office, located at 190 South LaSalle Street, which is funded by the ISA Checkoff Program, allows Illinois soybean farmers to build deeper relationships throughout a Chicago-based agriculture and food value chain. And that does it for this morning's WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.